Sometimes I just preach the same message again if I don't feel good about. If I felt good about this morning, that's not the right way to say it, but I just feel like the Lord wants me to go back and just finish this up. And when you preach, there's a lot of things. There's things that just go different. Sometimes you just go, it's just point and point and point and point. And then sometimes you'll hit a point, and if you're not careful, you'll just dwell on that. And maybe I don't know. I don't believe that's the case this morning. But I do want to go back, And I want to talk about this thing of fear. And I just want to ask you this before we pray and I get started. Do you have fear in your life? Are you fearful? And here's what I think. I think most of us have allowed fear to keep us from doing some things that God would want us to do. And at the same time, we have done that so long. We've done that so long that we don't even... It's just a way of life. It doesn't seem to us to be fearful. And so with that in mind, let's pray tonight. Let me just try to go through this, what I think God give me tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this evening, and you know my inability. You know I'm nothing. You know, Father, I have no ability outside of you. The fact of the matter is none of us have any ability, Lord. We can't do anything without you, and I need you tonight. You've called me and you've placed me in this little work. And Lord, I have to have you, and if you don't help me, I cannot be a help or a blessing to your people. And I ask you, Lord, to use me. Let me preach with power. Father, I pray you'd open hearts to receive. Do the work that you want done. You must increase, and I must decrease. Father, help me. Help me to be nothing so that you can be everything. Have your blessed way now, and I'll give you the glory for what you do. If there's anything that would hinder what you want to do tonight, please move it out of the way and help us as your people. In Jesus' precious name we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, sometimes we'll go back to 1 Samuel. Sometimes as a preacher you take a verse. You take a word like I'm taking tonight and you preach on that word. Sometimes you take a verse and you preach on that verse and you dig truth out of the verse. Sometimes you take a chapter. You might take a passage of a chapter. Tonight I want to take the book of 1 Samuel and just try to pick a few little things out of this. And I said this morning, let me just review quick. It won't take me long to get caught up because I didn't go very far. Fear, I was trying to get a handle on what fear is. And we have all kinds of fear. I mentioned that fear of poverty or fear of not having financial security, fear of old age, fear of rejection, fear of humiliation, fear of public speaking, fear of poor health. On and on you can go. If you've ever looked at a list of the phobias, the fears, there's just a multitude of fear. What is fear? It's an emotion or passion excited by an expectation of evil or the apprehension of impending danger. Now let's put that in East Tennessee words. That's an emotion that is triggered inside of you when you anticipate evil, future evil or future danger. And what you try to do, what that emotion will seek to do for you, it will cause you to want to make yourself secure from that danger or
evil that you feel like is out there that could do harm to your life or your family. And what that fear does, it makes you do things you might not ordinarily do if you didn't have fear. Now, does that make sense to you? No. You understand what I'm saying? Fear is an emotion from a potential future danger that you anticipate. You think, hey, here's what could happen. Here's what it looks like's going to happen. Here's what I know will happen someday. I'm thinking of aging or some of those things, or when you retire, you have to give up your job and you're fearful about your financial situation. Those things, some of those things are going to be a reality in our life. And so if we're not careful, we will do things we might not ought to do. But we took that word and started looking at it in the spiritual realm. And I may just teach this lesson. It might come across a little better if I would do that. We said first of all this morning that fear can silence truth. And it's a very reoccurring thing. Let me say it that way. It's a reoccurring event for God's people to, because of fear, to fail to declare and stand for truth like they ought to. And we use Samuel over there. When God spoke to Samuel, told him he was going to bring Eli and his family to an end, he feared to speak to Eli. He did not want to tell him. No doubt he feared maybe his response, what it would do to their relationship, different things. And then number two, we said fear can cause us to profane the holy. There's a lot of church leadership that's taken holy things and profaned them because they were fearful of failure or fearful of what the brethren might think or fearful of this or that. And so they, in an effort to create desired results, they took holy things and profaned them. And so we talked about that. And then I did not mention this. I'd preached pretty heavy on it in the past as we was working through. But fear can separate you from the will of God. Do you remember Saul's coronation day when they were going to make Saul the king? Make him the king of Israel. Saul, they looked for Saul and couldn't find him. And he was hiding among the stuff. You say, did he know it was his coronation day? Certainly he did. Surely the Bible would not have said he was hiding if he was not trying to stay away from the limelight. He was a farm boy. He did not want anything to do with the public, being in the public light. And so his fear, he was hiding out. And I just wonder how many people have missed the will of God for their life because of fear. Vance Havner, many of y'all have heard of Vance Havner. He was an old Southern Baptist preacher. I don't know if he ever pastored. I know he did itinerant preaching, or in other words, he went from place to place holding meetings. And his testimony was from his dad's own lips that his dad was called to preach and never surrendered to the call. Now let me say this. Here's what I hear people. Now here I am running down a trail, but just let me chase this rabbit for a minute and then I'll get off of it. Here's what people say to young men. If you don't have to preach, don't do it. Well, let me say this. You don't have to. It's your choice. If you can get away from it, don't do it. Well, you can get away from it. Vance Havner's dad, by his own, out of his own mouth, said God had called him to preach. He never submitted to the call of God for his life. And Brother Havner said that he lived his preaching life through through his son, through him. And so you can let fear keep you from doing what God has for your life. And so you need to think about that. You young people especially need to think about that. Do not let fear. I'll tell you what would be very fearful to me if God called me to the mission field. That'd be very fearful for me. That's not anything inside of me that I desire. I appreciate missionaries. I love them. I believe in them. They're my heroes. But I'm sure glad God just made me a pastor in the United States. I'm thankful for that. Some of you may be called. Jimmy says he's called. I know you're not fearful of that, Jimmy. I sense that about you. But that would be a fearful thing for me. And maybe some of you young folks somewhere, if not now, God may be dealing with you about missions or about preaching or about, I don't know what God has for your life. I know He has something for your life. I do know that. And so don't let fear keep you from being what God wants you to be. Just don't do that. Had Saul had his way, his fear would have kept him among the stuff, and he would have just slipped back to the farm and finished out his life in obscurity, doing what was comfortable and easy for his flesh. He would not have overcome that fear had somebody not went after him. And I'm getting a little ahead of myself there, but don't let fear keep you from the will of God. And I didn't mention that, and I should have this morning. And then I think we kind of closed out on these two right here. Fear can paralyze or immobilize you as a believer. And we talked about Saul under the, I believe it's the pomegranate tree. Saul was under the tree and he was just sitting there, the enemy all around, in God's territory. The enemy was everywhere, and Saul and 600 men were just sitting under the tree. They were afraid. And my fear can immobilize you. And then we said the cousin to that, fear can produce idleness in your life. And my, we looked at that. Be careful about this thing of idleness. When you get fearful, it's a fearful thing to step out in the will of God. It's a fearful thing because you don't know where it's going to take you. You don't know what the end result is going to be. But then let's look in chapter 15 and verse number 19. I want to pick up right there and just give you a few of these. I hope I can get through tonight and not, belabor this thing of fear. In chapter 15, this is where Saul is commanded to totally destroy, utterly destroy, it's the Bible word, the Amalekites. I mean, he's to destroy, if you look in verse 3, he's to slay both man, both woman, both infant, suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass. He's to kill all the livestock, all, every human that bleeds, that breathes. He is to totally destroy them. And so here's what he does, and I think maybe I've touched, maybe we preached on this. I don't remember what subject we used in chapter 15. But Saul spared the best. He kept the best for himself. And then the man of God comes down to check on the situation. Verse number 19, here's what Samuel said to him. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord? Here's what he says. Why didn't you obey the Lord? But didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, here's what Samuel's, I should have backed up where Samuel heard the bleeding of the sheep in verse 14. But Samuel knows he's not utterly destroyed. And Samuel says, I did obey. And then, or Saul said, I did obey. And then Samuel says, wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. He will not accept it. He has obeyed. And he did. He did obey partially. He is right to a degree. It's a play on words as far as I'm concerned. Excuse me. And so, wherefore and Saul said to Samuel, I'm in verse 20, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Notice verse 21. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And so the people took of the spoil. And they used a biblical reason to justify their disobedience. We took of this spoil, we disobeyed God so we could obey God. That's really what they're saying. God told them to utterly destroy, and he said the people decided to take the best of the livestock so they could sacrifice to God. They chose to disobey God with the excuse it would allow them to be obedient to God. My, you could just stop and start looking at that, and you could see a lot of that in the day we're living in. But verse 22, and Samuel says, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Now let me ask you this. Does God need our assets? Does He need your money? Brother Bud said no. And he's right. He owns it all. He owns everything. It's just a blessing and a privilege that He allows us to give of what we have back to Him. It's a blessing, a privilege. Now, I know it takes finances to run the church. I'm not trying to say that. But I'm saying God could keep the church afloat without your money or my money. He doesn't need that. That's what I'm trying to say. And so Samuel says, hath the Lord His great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, now here's the truth for you. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Now, it's better for you to be obedient than to try to help God out with your little measly whatever it is. And I'm not belittling what you give or where you're at on that. But I'm just saying it's a privilege to give. It ought to be a blessing to think that you can give to help the cause of Christ. If you just stop and think about that, and you think about what He did for us and how little we can do for Him, it ought to make us really feel good about digging in our billfolds and giving to His cause because of who He is. And so He said it's better just to obey. And that's another rabbit if I'm not careful. But here's what the Lord really wants out of you. He wants your submission. He wants you to submit to His Lordship. He wants you just to obey Him. I challenge you all the time, just obey the Spirit of God. I believe that. Now, here's what a lot of folks think. If you obey the Spirit of God, it's just going to be a madhouse. Hey, you can stop things a lot quicker than you can get things started. And really, if you miss God and you're not trying to, you're trying to be obedient, even if you miss God, God understands the intent of your heart. And so here's what I say. It's better to attempt to be obedient than it is to sit idly by. Now that's where I stand on that situation. And so he says it's better to obey than sacrifice, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now that's just, I'm kind of like Brother Jones said that time, he said every time he pounds the pulpit, a rabbit jumps out, but every time I read a phrase, I want to start running a rabbit. Rebellion against God is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as the iniquity, is as iniquity and idolatry. And I've heard some of God's poor old people brag about how stubborn they are. They even use the word stubborn. I heard a church going girl say this one time, my grandmother was stubborn, and I'm stubborn just like her. And I thought, my soul, something. That was ignorance speaking, just to be honest with you. Don't be, if you're stubborn, don't be proud of it. At least try to hide it behind steadfastness or some word that's a biblical word, you say. At least, I don't even try to hide behind it. Just confess and get right with God. Stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. Here's what Samuel said to Saul's partial obedience. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And then here's where I read all that to get to this one verse. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. There he's changed his mind. He's repenting. For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words. Why? Because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. I feared the people. And so as we look at this, fear produces partial obedience many times in our life. We know we fear not obeying, and so we do part of what we're asked to do, but we do not fully obey the Lord many times. And we think we've struck that happy medium. We didn't disobey, we partially obeyed, even though we didn't fully obey. And so we're kind of in the middle. But God says being in the middle, partial obedience, is disobedience. And so Saul said the reason I disobeyed is because I feared the people. They wanted those livestock and I didn't have the guts, or I didn't have the backbone or the fortitude or whatever word I need to use to tell them, you can't have that because God said we couldn't have it. And so fear led to that. Do not let fear promote partial obedience in your life. And then fear can cause you to flee when you ought to stand fast. We see that. I'm not going to turn. I think that should be an automatic truth in our life. But you can see that in chapter 17 and verse 24 and chapter 27 verse 1 and 2. And let me say that chapter 27 is when David went the second time down to the Philistine country. And what he did, he left God's people to yoke up with the Philistines. Now let me say this, and listen to me, young people. I want y'all to get this little truth here. To leave God's people to yoke up with the world's crowd is never right. I want to say it again to you. I want you to listen. Because you'll be tempted to do that very thing. Temptation, as you get older and you get more freedom, temptation is going to come your way to leave God's people and to yoke up with the world. Can I tell you, let me say it again for emphasis, to leave God's people for the purpose of yoking up with the world is never, and I want to put emphasis on the word never, is never right for you to do. Now that's how it is. And we saw it, and the fact of the matter is, you'll be miserable around God's people trying to run with the world's crowd. You'll be miserable. That's why the prodigal son left home. He couldn't live the righteous lifestyle and be around a godly father. It just, those two just don't go together. And so, fear. Fear causes us to flee. And I don't know how I got there on what I said to you, but why do David, because he feared Saul, left God's people and went down to the world. And it's never right to do that. Don't let fear separate you from the people of God. And I'll tell you why I think that's important just a minute. Fear in chapter 18 and verses 14 through 15 and verse number 29, fear creates fictitious enemies for you to fight. Now, here's what I want to, if you read those verses, Saul feared David. He feared David. Now, did he have justifiable means to fear David? Here's my question. Was David out to do him harm? Not at all. When he cut off part of his garment, the Lord smote him, and he said, I've forgotten how the scripture reads, but it was something to this effect. It wasn't right for him to... How's that? Somebody tell me how that says. Touch, that's the word I couldn't think of. He said it wasn't right for him to touch God's anointed. He said, it's not right for me to lash out at Saul. Actually, David was Saul's friend, but Saul's fear made him an enemy when in fact he wasn't an enemy. I wonder how many of God's people have made fictitious enemies because of some fabricated fear the devil has planted in their heart. I just wonder about that. And so, you may think you have an enemy, but you may have a friend. Be careful about that. Fear can create fictitious enemies for you to fight. David wasn't Saul's enemy. If he was, he could have killed him twice, and he spared his life. And so, Saul looked at David as an enemy, but he really wasn't. And I think sometimes maybe God's people get sideways on that. And then fear can produce hypocrisy in your life. You remember when David... I'll tell you what let's do. Let's just look at this one. Chapter 21. Chapter 21 and verse number 12. I'm going to start in verse number 10. This is the first time David went down to the Philistines. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? Now David had a reputation. Verse number 12. And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So David has went down to the Achish, king of Gath, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, Achish, the king of Gath, and he's going there for safety, but they start talking about how he's killed thousands of Philistines, and David gets scared about this matter. He becomes frightful, and he realizes he's made a mistake. And notice what verse 13 says, and he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? Now what is my point? David's fear caused him to act like someone who he really wasn't. Now, we see that so prevalent in young people. Young people, you have a lot of fears. You fear being rejected. You fear not fitting in. And I think that's normal. I don't think that's an abnormal thing. There's just something about that that time of life that we that you struggle with that, most young people anyway. And so in order for you to compensate for that fear of rejection, many times you try to be what you're not. That's what David's doing. He's, because of fear, he's not being who he really is. He was no more a madman than the most sane person you know. But the fact of the matter is, he's acting like he's one. And there's a lot of good young folks who, they're really good people down on the inside, but because of fears they have, they do not act like who they really are. And so we form poor opinions of people who are really insecure and struggling, don't you say? And so here's what I'm saying. Don't let fear change you from who you are. Be who you are. One thing I want to be, I want to be who I am. I want to preach the same when I'm away from this church as I do when I'm at this church. I want to be transparent. I was reading this morning 2 Timothy. Paul told Timothy, "You have fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose," and he goes through 4 or 5 other things. You fully know that. I want to be transparent. I want to be who I am. I want you to know who I am. And I think all God's people ought to be like that. I don't think there ought to be any hypocrisy among us. But so many times fear causes us to be a hypocrite. And that word simply means an actor. To play a part. To try to be something that you're really not. And I'll mess this up, but I wish I could find that. I wrote that down somewhere, maybe over towards the back of my Bible. I believe it was Dwayne Whittemore. He was quoting an old mountain preacher, and he said, "When you try to," and I'm going to use the words he used, "when you try to be who you ain't, you'll make a mess out of who you is." And there's a lot of truth to that. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't try to be what you're not. Just be who you are, you see. And don't let fear change you in that way. And so here's the truth that fear can cause you to play the hypocrite. And all kinds of examples for young people here. Probably be a good message to preach to young people. Fear can lead you to ungodly counsel. Now, I'm not going to turn on the rest of these. Fear can lead you to ungodly counsel. Do you know Saul actually went when God wouldn't speak to him? I don't know if she was called a witch or... Anyway, she called folks up from the grave. Now, some say that was a demonic spirit. Some say that was actually Samuel that she called up. It's a very puzzling scripture, and we all have our opinions on that. I'm not preaching on that, but the point I'm making, Saul went to a fortune teller or a witch or somebody who supposedly called Samuel up from the paradise side of the underworld, and he talked with Saul. And what he said came to pass. He told Saul, "You and your sons are going to die the next day, and you're going to come where I'm at." That's what he said to him. And that's what happened. The next day they had a battle, and his 3 sons and Saul were killed. And so Saul, because he was fearful, he sought counsel. He sought ungodly counsel. And my fear can cause you to do that. And on we can go on fear. And I just wonder how many times fear motivates us, and it does not strike. It does not register with us that it's fear that is motivating us to do what we're doing. I just wonder that. And I'd ask you to evaluate yourself on that. But here's what if you'll give me just a few minutes, I'll be through tonight. Here, here's, Here's what I want to ask you. If fear can hinder us spiritually, how do we live victorious over it? Here you are, and you have some fears, and you don't want anybody to know, being the things you're afraid of, that's very private to individuals. We really don't want people to know. And some people, I had one fellow tell me this, he didn't fear anything. That's just not so. We all have some kind of fears. And it may not, we may not fear a fight, being a fighter, or fear a situation, but we may fear other things of life. I knew this man personally. I knew some things he feared. I know people that fear just being alone. They fear, they don't want, they're fearful that one day they'll be all alone. And that's a legitimate fear, I guess. Well, how do we win victory over it? How do we keep fear from hindering us in our spiritual life? I just want to give you just a few little things. If we were to go back to Samuel's life, if we were to go back and look at Samuel when he was with Eli, in fact, the matter, we might ought to do that. Let's go back to chapter 3 for just a minute. It might be good for you to see this instead of me telling you, for you to see it. In chapter 3, if you remember this morning, Samuel received an uncomfortable message regarding Eli from the Lord, and he was fearful to tell him. And so what helped Eli, what helped Samuel to be obedient? What helped Samuel to be obedient? I think this is a key point for your life. Notice what happened. Verse 15, let's start there, chapter 3. And Samuel lay until the morning, opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to shew Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son," he answered, "Here am I." And he said, "What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee?" Now here's Eli, and he's saying, "You tell me what the Lord said." Now Samuel don't want to, but Eli's saying, "You tell me what the Lord said. I pray thee, hide it not from me." And here's what he said: "God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee." And Samuel told him every whit. Now, here's my point. Samuel was around people who challenged him to be obedient, even when he was afraid to. Now, you say, that's elementary. That's kid stuff. Can I tell you what you need to do if you want to conquer the spiritual fears of your life? Get around people who are going to challenge you to do right. That's why people who are fearful and who have purpose not to do right, they can't be around too long God's people who's going to push them and challenge them and exhort them or whatever, rebuke them into obedience even when they're afraid. Does that make sense to you? It ought to. Here's what I say. The company you keep will either help you overcome your spiritual fears or it'll keep you from addressing your spiritual fears. That's right. I'm telling you right this evening. And here's what I say, young folk. Here's what the devil will try to get you to do. He'll try to get you away from God's people someday. Now, I can go tell you my little National Geographic story, how the lion chases the herd, and the minute he chases, and if he ever gets one, you all have all seen it, that little animal will get away from the pack. Does that just bring back a memory in your mind? That little animal get away from the pack. He quits chasing the herd, and you know what he does? He goes after that little animal that's away from the herd. You know why? He has no support. Now, that's why the house of God is so important to many of God's people. It pushes us out of our comfort zone. And really, really, when you look at the individual that's pushing him, it's the man of God. Now, really, part of my job, I'm using this word really, but you know, my job is to see that God's people grow and progress and become what they ought to be. And for me to do that, I have to push you when you're afraid to do. It's the right thing. And some of you wish this, if you would be honest. You wish somebody, when you was a young person, would have pushed you harder in spiritual areas. You know you do. You wonder what... Brother Randall, I believe you said that the other day. Brother Randall's testifying, and he said he appreciated folks pushing the young people in our church and letting them have a part and pushing them out of their comfort zone. And he said he never got that. And he wondered what might be had he had that in his life. Now here's what you need to do. Everybody dreads the preacher when I say this. We're going to do something a little different this evening. Is that not right? These guys start hunting them some little obscure message they ain't looked at in 2 months and start trying to knock the dust off of it, you know, because they think they're going to get up. And that's right. Does it not help you, fellas? If you'll be honest, does it not help you? And then after that, if I do that 2 or 3 times regular enough, then you have something. And Chad says he has a 10-minute, 20-minute, and a 30-minute. That's what you told me one time. That might not be the minutes, but you had 3 different time slots you could fill if you needed to. Well, you know why? He was pushed out of his comfort zone enough. It helped him be prepared. I remember when some of these young people start. Grace, I remember when you sung, your voice would tremble sometimes. Just scared to death to sing. And had you let fear control your life, you would have just sat down and said, it's too hard. It's too hard for me. But instead, you kept being pushed by your parents and maybe your Sunday school teacher, by your preacher. And now you can get up and sing and it's not catastrophic for your life. Or most of the time it's not anyway, we'll say. And so here's what I'm saying. If you're going to overcome your fears, your spiritual fears, stay around people who's going to challenge you. And I could talk about iron sharpening iron and all those things, and that's true. That's good. But it's an uncomfortable thing. When Eli kept pushing Samuel, kept pushing him, it was uncomfortable for Samuel, but it was good because when they got through, Samuel had obeyed what he should have done. That's why God gave him that message to share with Eli. And so he obeyed, don't you see? Instead of being fearful to tell him, he told him what God had to say to him. And so you need that. You need that in your life. Surround yourself with people who challenge you. I was out at the... And the examples could go on and on. I don't need to... I've watched these young people on Thursday night. They challenge each other. They push each other to be what they ought to be as musicians. And so it helps them, don't you see? And so the first thing to overcome in your fears, and here's the thing of the flesh, we want to hide our fears. It's embarrassing to us. And we would never, many times, cocky people are really fearful people. That is a facade to hide their true fears. And they act bold and whatever. But they're really, really hiding their fears because that's something that's not pleasant to admit. that were fearful. And that brings me to my next point. You need to be honest about your fears. You just need to be honest about it. If you struggle with certain things of embarrassment or whatever it might be in the work of the Lord, if you struggle with it, just be honest about it. Face the fact. Don't push it on the back burner and act like it doesn't exist. Just be honest about your fears. And I've said this to you enough, you probably could say it to me, and maybe even better, but just let me say it again to you. It's honest people that get help from the Lord. Be honest. And by the way, when you talk to the Lord, you can be honest with Him. Did you know He already knows everything about you before you start talking to Him? If you failed Him, He knows you failed Him. He knows you tried to do it on your own, not depend on Him. You can share your fears with the Lord. And, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Prayer is going to be one of them I'm going to get to here in just a minute. Number one, surround yourself with good people. Number two, just be honest. Can you say to yourself, I'm not saying you have to go around telling everybody you're a coward, but can you say, I'm afraid to, and fill in the blank. I'm afraid to. I'm fearful of that. Here's what David said, Psalm 18:4. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. He said, there's times I was afraid. Those men made me afraid. Now, so. First of all, we have to surround ourselves with people who will push us, and let me use this old cliche, out of our comfort zone. Number two, we have to be honest and admit we're fearful. And number three, we have to trust in the Lord when we're afraid. Here's what the psalmist said, 56:8. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. Let me ask you this. Who do you trust in when you're afraid? We all have fears. And usually they surface to our attention when we're alone. That's when we a lot of times we meditate and think about things. Here's what the psalmist said. When I get afraid, I'm not going to try to handle it on my own. I'm not going to try to take things in my own hands. Lord, I'm going to look to You, and I'm going to trust You to take care of me. That's faith. You have to place faith in the Lord to help you with your fears. This is not rocket science. But here's what I'm saying. Do you want to overcome your fears? And here's what most of y'all would say. Yes, I do not want my fears to handicap me spiritually. Well, you're going to have to learn to place your faith in the Lord when you're afraid. It's a very difficult thing. It's easy preaching. What I'm saying is very easy preaching. But I'm telling you, it's difficult living. And so if you're going to deal, if you're going to get victory over this thing of fear, you're going to have to learn to trust Him. And not just lip service, you're going to have to put your trust in Him. It's not easy. But then you're going to have to realize, if you're going to overcome your fears, you're going to have to realize this, you can't do it. You can't do it within yourself. Well, I have a fear of public speaking. I cannot get up in front of a crowd. I understand that. But can I tell you, the only way you'll ever overcome that is not in your own ability, but with the Lord's help. You have to have the Lord to help you. I've got down the one we quote all the time, John 15:5. 2 Corinthians 12:11. Paul said this, I am nothing. I am nothing. In 1 Corinthians 4:4, he said, I know nothing. And, of course, in John 15:5, we see the truth that we can do nothing. Can I tell you, without the Lord, you'll never overcome your fears. I know I'm not preaching anything that you didn't know in the second or third grade, I guess. But I'm just trying to bring some of these things to your minds this evening. My, you're going to have to trust the Lord and realize your inability. So many people try to solve their problems, and one of their problems being fear within their own strength. You can't do it. Not in the spiritual realm. You can't do it. You have to have the Lord. Here's what I think. I think every one of you would say amen, but it's not a reality in your heart. You have to have the Lord. Chad, your ministry is a big old zero without the Lord. Jimmy, you're young. You've got all kinds of potential. You'll be a big zero without the Lord. Brian, you're the third preacher in the row there. You'd be nothing. You're nothing without the Lord. Here's four preachers right here, including myself. We're zeros without the Lord. We have to have Him. You have to have Him. And if you ever overcome fear, He has to help you to do that. And my, we're going to talk, you can take fear out of the sentence and put in anything, and we have to have the Lord. I hope the Holy Ghost will make that real in our life. I spent a good part of my time in the last 5 years stressing to you as a congregation that we can't do anything unless the Lord helps us. And that's so. And yet, many times, in our own efforts, we put all everything together and we think we've got this and we've done that. We've not done anything if the Lord doesn't help us. You can't overcome your fears. I hate to tell you, you can't overcome your fears unless the Lord helps you. So let me give you a few. Let me summarize, and maybe I'll give you one or two more. Number one, we have to maintain close relationships with those who challenge us to face our fears. I'm thinking about Saul. And I could say, you need a man of God who will, for lack of a better word, push you in certain areas of your life. And then we have to be honest with ourselves and admit we have a fear. We fear certain things. And if we're not willing to do that, we're just in trouble. And then we have to realize our inability and place our faith. I got a little ahead of myself. And place our faith and our trust in the Lord to help us. We have to do that. And my, we could I probably just need to say it. We have to be weak so we can be strong. I'm in 2 Corinthians. Is it chapter 12? The thorn in the Paul's thorn in the flesh. He said he gloried in his infirmities, for when he was weak, then he was strong. I don't see many of God's people weak enough to depend on the Lord to help them. You've got to get weak. You're going to have to depend on Him. You can't do it. And if you do have the charisma, the personality, the whatever word I need to use to accomplish something in your flesh, it's of no value spiritually. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit. We need the Lord to help us with our fears. We must acknowledge I'll just give you these and I'll be through tonight. Has fears handicapped you? I mean, would you just be honest about it? Have they handicapped you? My, here's what the devil, if he knows fears works in your life, he's going to try to get you away from people who will challenge you and push you. It's just that simple. And many people, they won't be honest. They'll swear up down there. They have no fears when they're controlled by fear. They'll lie out of fear. Say they have no fear. Well, you have to realize you can't do it. If fear has immobilized you or done some of those things that we mentioned earlier, you can't overcome it without the Lord. You just can't do it. And you might think you're doing this or that, but I'll promise you, to have victory, you have to have the Lord. He's the source. You say, nothing's impossible. I could go over there and read those with God. Nothing is impossible. Yeah, I don't know what your fear is, but God can help you with it. We're getting ready to start a new year here before long. And maybe your whole life you've been fearful. You've let fear dictate and control. By the way, some fear is healthy. I meant to say that this morning. Sometimes fear is healthy. A young child around deep water, it's healthy for them to be fearful of it. And so I'm not saying all fear, but I'm talking about fear that handicaps you spiritually. My, it's the Lord that can help us. And the great principle of strength and weakness. Strength and weakness. We're strong only as we are strong in the Lord. I want to go to 2 Timothy. That's where we spend our Sunday school lessons for the last, I don't know how long. But Paul is challenging in chapter 2, verse 1. He said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." In other words, if you're going to overcome your fears, Timothy, he was afraid. He saw what serving God was costing the Apostle Paul. He had backed off. Paul said, you're going to have to stir up the gift now, and you're going to have to be strong in chapter 2. That's chapter 1. Chapter 2, he said, you're going to have to be strong in the grace. You're going to have to overcome those fears through the grace of God. And so, and then lastly, I'd be remiss without saying this, and I think I probably already have. James 4 and 2, the last part of that verse says this, "We have not because we ask not." I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Now here's what you say, "Well, I ask and I didn't get it." Well, you ask amiss to consume it of your own lust. But I just wonder what we don't have because we haven't asked. It seems to me the implied truth is that we receive from God through prayer. We make our needs and our supplications and our requests to God. We take our needs to Him. And the Bible says if we have not because we ask not. Now here's what I'm saying. You're going to have to pray about it. You're going to have to ask God to help you. Really what you're going to have to admit to yourself, I can't overcome it without the Lord helping me. Now here's what I believe, and I'm going to say it again. I said it this morning. I believe the majority of God's people, their service to God is limited because their spiritual service is limited because of fear in their life in some form or another. I believe that. And so I just challenge you. I want to challenge you, church, to face your fears. Face your fears. Just be honest about it. Not necessarily with me or other people, but with God. And get around people that's going to challenge you to go on with God. Pray and ask God to help you, realizing He has all power. What are you fearful of? Has it been such a part of your life that you don't even recognize it as fear? I think that's so with a lot of us. I just ask you, here's what I really want out of this. I just want you to take a valuation. I want you just to take a look on the inside. And maybe you ought to just pray about, Father, is there anything, any fears that's keeping me from being what I ought to be for you? Would there be anything wrong with doing that? I think it'd be a good exercise for you. You see, every now and then, we just have to take a valuation of our life. What are you fearful of? And can I tell you this? I may be wrong in saying this. This may be my opinion rather than biblical truth. But many times God helps us progressively. Now, I said this morning there's a time I was fearful to say amen. I got where I could say amen, but then I wanted to raise my hand in praise to God, and I was afraid to do that. And it took me a long time to get victory over that. I had to really pray about it and ask God to help me with it. And then I got where I really, and I guess early on, I was a little bit fearful to preach in certain churches. I really didn't want to preach where there was a great man of God at, Brother Bud. I'm ashamed to admit that. You know why? I was afraid I'd mess up. And then I'd show my ignorance, so to speak. And so I was fearful, and I had to get past that. And so, you know, you go along, and God just helps you with these fears. And He helps you to go on. But here's what you've got to do. You've got to face up to it. Realizing you're nothing, you can't solve it. And go to God in prayer, in faith, believing that He'll help you. And I want to say this to you. It may be you have not because you ask not. Let's bow our heads this evening. That's what I've got. Sister Grace is going to come and play. I've just tried to preach to you today what I felt like God wanted me to give you. That's all I can say. And if God spoke to your heart, I know, said a lot that I said this morning, but I've tried to obey God tonight. How about it?